Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's in the Video Poker Hall of Fame, and he has written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the Video Poker for Winners computer software. Michael Shackelford is the force behind the websites Wizard of Odds, Wizard of Vegas, and Wizard of Macau. An actuary by profession, Michael has been analyzing the whole gamut of casino games since 1995. His Wizard of Odds website explains the best strategies for 140 different casino games. Michael is also the author of Gambling 102, The Best Strategies for All Casino Games, and is a former adjunct professor of gaming math at UNLV. The goal of the show is that, by listening, you will be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Mike.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
I'm Mike Shackelford.
Our guest tonight is Mike Fields, Vice President of VideoPoker.com. Since Mike can talk forever and ever, and he didn't get everything said in last week's show, so we decided to invite him back. But this is your limit, Mike. Just two in a row is it. There was an interesting ending to the Monday Night Football game from a gambling perspective. Shaq, tell us about that.
Well, I think a lot of you know that with just seconds to go, Green Bay was down by 5 points, I believe. So they threw a Hail Mary pass.
Green Bay was ahead. Seattle was down.
You're right. I'm sorry. I had it reversed. Thank you very much. So Seattle was down, threw a Hail Mary pass, and both Golden Tate and MD Jennings, players on both teams, tried to catch the ball, and as was pretty obvious on replay, MD Jennings with Green Bay caught it.
Defensive team.
Mm-hmm. The defensive team caught it, which should have been an interception. But right after that, Golden Tate with Seattle also got his hands on it. And he had it on for a while, and it looked to me that they came off again and on again. But Green Bay had it was in his hands the whole time. He clearly had the ball, whereas with Seattle it was kind of questionable. And the call went in favor of Seattle, because if both players had the ball, had possession of it through the whole thing, then it goes to the receiving team or the team that was passing the ball. So they made a bad call on the field, which is forgivable, but then it went to automatic review, which can happen if the pass is in the end zone, and they upheld the play. And Green Bay players were furious, and it seemed like one of the worst calls ever made in football. And what does this all have to do with sports betting? Well, it brings up the question is, what would have happened if that got overturned by higher levels in the NFL? The answer to that question is most places will, once they put in the score of the game, they won't change it. They don't accept changes in the score after the fact. And there are exceptions.
When this has happened before, USC had a game last year where it didn't affect who won the game, but affect whether or not they covered the line, covered the spread.
Yes.
And there, most books paid the original only, didn't change, and they had rules to that effect. And although players didn't really see those rules, but they all had the rules, a few casinos with relatively small exposure decided to pay both sides of it if you could come up with a ticket and hadn't thrown it away, and so they could get some great publicity for $10,000 or whatever it was. It wasn't that big of a bet on a game. And so a few casinos did that.
Do you have any names of who did that? I know the Hilton honored bets on one side, I believe Utah, until it got overturned. And then they honored bets on USC after that, but then they quit honoring bets on Utah. But I might have it backwards.
The Hilton was the casino that comes to mind. So, anyway, it did lead to we now have regular refs starting tonight. The regular refs could have made this mistake too. There have been some real big boner calls in the NFL, even by the regular officials. But since the replacement officials were so bad, they make such an easy target. So obviously, it was all their fault. And anyway,
well, it's easier to blame the replacement refs, I think.
Oh yeah, especially since now they're all fired, and so when you blame somebody who's fired, that solves the problem. Because all right, now next week is G2E. One of your games, Shaq, is called Mulligan Poker, and it's going to be on display in the Shuffle Master booth. Now, in Mulligan in golf means if you have a bad shot, you can take another shot with no penalty. So my guess is that Mulligan Poker, if you don't like your hand, you can throw it away and get some more. Is that true?
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. If you don't like your hand, you can throw it away and get another hand. You must raise your bet if you invoke this option. And then when it's the dealer's turn, he also can take a mulligan if he wants to. If the dealer does not have at least a queen high, he's going to toss out his hand and take a new one. And then it's just the higher hand wins, and there's no qualifying hand or anything like that. All wins pay at least even money, and some of the premium hands pay even more than that.
Are there side bets?
There's also going to be the pair plus side bet, just like in three-card poker. And if you take a mulligan, you lose your pair plus bet, but you can remake it with the mulligan hand.
You can remake it after you see it? After No. you see their hand?
So let's say that you have a nine high, uh-huh. And you made the pair plus bet. And so you want to take the mulligan. You forfeit your pair plus bet because that lost. But before the dealer gives you your new three cards, you can make a new pair plus bet. So basically, you can make the pair plus bet twice in this game, assuming you take the mulligan.
So there's an opportunity. So normally, in three-card poker, the pair plus bet in round numbers is a sucker bet.
Yes, and it's equally a sucker bet in this game. So you get two chances to make it.
You get twice the opportunity to make a sucker bet.
That's right.
How can you? All right, now, so Shuffle Master's representing this game, but you're the inventor. Now, do you hang out at the Shuffle Master booth and tell everybody what a great game it is, or do you check out the booth babes in the other locations?
Oh, I check out the booth babes in both Shuffle Master and every place I can find them. And,
an equal opportunity ogler here.
Yes. it's one of the few chances I get because these girls are paid to be nice to people. And usually only pretty girls will talk to me if they're being paid for it. So I seize any chance I can get. And
you don't have to pay them this time.
Yes. Yes. That's the beauty of it. Somebody else is paying. I figure I'll show up when they open up on Tuesday and make sure the pretty girl dealing the game understands the rules, and once it seems to be going, I'll probably excuse myself and go do other stuff. And so, I'm not expected to be there with the game the whole show, but I will just feel it out, see how much they need me. But I'm told that it's not my presence is not required.
Well, for your sake, I hope she needs lots of personal attention to get the game right.
But I'm big on simplicity. With new games, so it should be pretty easy for any dealer to get the hang of it.
All right, Mike Fields. Before we're going to get to your actual segment in a second. But when you go to these shows, it's primarily as a salesman, as a representative of VideoPoker.com. But do you also get to go out and check the other booths and find out what's happening, or are you primarily there selling your product?
Excuse me. I spend my time probably doing three general things. One is representing VideoPoker.com, trying to get a feel for where the operators are in terms of their embracing, putting games on their website for their players, that kind of stuff, and see how that space is evolving. I spend a lot of time up at the IGT booth where our brick-and-mortar games are on display, listening to what customers have to say about them, getting feedback, and staying close to all the IGT poker salespeople to get an advance feedback in general, what people, what games they like, what things they do like, don't like about the games. Because as soon as the show is over, we immediately go to work at the following Monday, improving, fixing, or buttoning up and sending those games to manufacturing. The third thing I do is, of course, I do walk the floor, visiting various booths. I will join Michael in the booth babe ogling. I think it's important they're there. They should be appreciated. But at the same time, I'll be looking for other poker games, different things that are, I think are innovative. And I also look at a lot of the slot product and stuff. At the end of the day, a gambling proposition, a good one is a good one. Something that makes your gut feel that special way a good gamble does. And I like to explore all the creativity that's out there.
But mainly in the machine games, yeah. Not so much on the table games.
Not the table games.
All right, let me introduce you officially, and then we got whole messes of questions for you.
Oh.
It's only been a few times that we've invited the same guest back 2 weeks in a row. Tonight's one of those times. Mike Fields is Executive Vice President of VideoPoker.com and one of the sponsors of this program. Thank you again very much. VideoPoker.com are the designers of the Triple Play family of games. That means Triple Play, 100 Play, Spin Poker, Quick Quads, Ultimate X, and more than 100 other games, many of which are written about on Shaq's Wizard of Odds website. Mike Fields, welcome back to Gambling with an Itch.
Thanks for having me, Bob. I appreciate it. It's good to see you too, Michael.
Thanks.
You have an unusual pricing model for your games. In addition to buying or leasing the machine, the casino needs to pay $15 a day, sometimes a different amount, royalty, for the privilege of having one of your games on their floor. So if a casino has 200 VideoPoker.com games, which would be a big casino, they're writing a check to IGT for $100,000 a month, round numbers. As casinos try to balance budgets, this monthly royalty charge must make some casinos' executives fighting mad. When this happens, how do you deal with it?
Perhaps I should start by explaining how the business model came about.
Mm-hmm.
We spend millions of dollars each year inventing games, writing patents for games, and trying to prosecute those patents, which is an expensive, lengthy, and increasingly difficult process. The way we make our money back is by leasing games that have patent protection to the casinos, and you described the pricing model correctly. And that's what funds our continued expense in research and development. It's what funded our foray into VideoPoker.com, which is essentially a marketing expense to help create a community of video poker players to come together, but also give us a chance to promote games for free so that people can try before they buy. As far as the operator question, it was a very delicate question in the early days. There are certainly casinos that don't want to pay to use the games. My position when I ran Video Poker for IGT and now is my position working for Ernie directly is VideoPoker.com. If the game is not earning enough to cover the daily fee, then please give it back. I don't want any customer to have to pay for something that they're not totally satisfied with. The truth is that the casinos will only pay a premium price for a game if it earns some multiple above a house average. If a typical machine makes $80 a day, they may say it needs to earn 1.5 times house average or 2 times house average. And if it does, they'll pay that fee. So while we may generate monthly revenues, as you indicated, the casino, because of the popularity of the games, the amount of volume that people play, is making considerably more than that, or they wouldn't pay for it.
Now, I would imagine that the Bellagio makes more per square foot than, say, Arizona Charlie's Decatur. And I would imagine the Bellagio can more easily afford $15 a day than Arizona Charlie's. So might we be seeing more action gaming games at a casino like the Bellagio?
Your logic is flawless. And I don't mean that sarcastically. That's absolutely the case. And you would think that would be the case. Some casinos just don't want to write a check for anything. And so they'll reduce an expense line, even if the net result is that they'll reduce the revenue line. Many casinos feel that if a player walks in the building with X dollars, they're going to put it in any machine in here. Might as well have them put it in a machine that I own completely. As to the decision of an Arizona Charlie's or a smaller property that doesn't have the volume of the Bellagio, you have to think about everything in relative terms. If their average win per unit is $30 a day, but this particular game over here makes $100 or $150 a day, and they only have a handful of players that are willing to play at that level proportionally above all their other players, then that daily fee, once netted of their revenue, if that revenue number is high enough, you're happy to pay for it. I just left Big Dogs. I had dinner over there just now. They've got five of our games over there on the bar.
Is this a 15-machine max place?
Big Dogs, I didn't count. I think it's got a bit more than that.
There's a whole group of pubs, and there's a limit of 15 machines usually.
Yeah.
So,
but again, everything, it really just comes down to economics, what you can afford, what you can resell. Red Bull, for example, might cost more than Monster. But if they can get the premium price for a Red Bull and vodka, and the customers are willing to pay for it, they make more money, and as a result, they'll keep Red Bull in stock.
Okay. On another topic, suppose a game inventor invents a video poker variation, and they're going to have it's going to take a lot of money to make their own machines, so they're probably going to present it to a company like you. So do you like to entertain game inventors that have come up with some new video poker concept?
We always are willing to entertain inventors. Without somebody entertaining Ernie Moody, we wouldn't have the Triple Play family of games. We wouldn't have the dynasty of video poker products and videopoker.com that came about. It is a miserably long, grueling process. You know, typically we really don't want to look at a game unless someone's filed for a patent, that we know they're serious, that we know that it's an idea that is potentially protectable, because you can't charge a licensing fee for something that's not protectable, that anybody and everybody could copy. We typically don't want to look at a game unless someone has a software demo and math that's accurate. Simulations don't always bring you accurate math. You know, so we do look at ideas. Lately, the patenting process is becoming more and more expensive and longer and more difficult to get patents. So we're probably seeing less ideas than we used to, almost in a Darwinian fashion. It's just gotten very painful to be an inventor. If someone has a really compelling idea, you know, and there have been a few times that we've liked ideas that were not our own, then we've struck some sort of licensing deal. But it's not an easy business. You know, we are happy if we can get 100 units out in all of North America. We feel that game is a success. And what happens is most people see Ernie Moody and they recognize that he's managed to generate a lot of wealth for himself and that we have 16,000 machines in the field. Everybody thinks their game is the next great Triple Play or the next Wheel of Fortune in the slot space. And sadly, that just isn't the case. At least we haven't seen the next great Triple Play yet.
Maybe it's when Mulligan Poker goes to machines. What do you think?
Now, I'm hoping.
In order to charge a $15 a day royalty, the game's got to be extra popular.
Absolutely.
What makes videopoker.com games more popular than IGT single line games?
I think it's some people like different levels of spice. I personally love vindaloo in Indian food, and I know it makes my brow sweat, and it makes my tongue go numb, but I absolutely love a good vindaloo or a good spicy curry.
I thought, is she a dancer at Sapphire? Vindaloo?
Spearmint. I think that that's not an indifferent analogy to video poker games. The amount of excitement and entertainment, the rush that you get. I mean, three aces is always exciting. But Bob, you know better than I, playing 10 play at the dollar rate you play, getting dealt three aces, even though you know statistically, mathematically what the likelihood, it probably even makes a little jolt in your heart, knowing that this could be a big swing for your day or a big, you know, pop for you. I think it's true with every player, whether they're just recreational or otherwise, the more excitement the game can have, the better. The real challenge we have in inventing games that are compelling is not changing strategy, not making them unfamiliar. And if you have to pay too much to get the entertainment value of the feature, then people just won't see the feature and they'll go bust for their daily budget before they get a chance to enjoy the game.
Well, speaking of not changing strategy, the strategy for Ultimate X is extremely complicated that even my co-host has a hard time with it. So If this game has such a complicated strategy, why do players like it so much?
I don't think that most players perceive it as a complicated strategy. Now, I believe that it probably is. If you're in the ionosphere where you and Bob live mathematically and can know what the cost, the mistake cost of everything is, I think that there's a, you know, if you look at the player community as a pyramid, you two are at the very tip top of the pyramid. There's a, at the wider base, there's a whole lot more people that are willing to pay a higher price, which is maybe not know the perfect strategy, to really enjoy that rush and that ride of when you do get a 10 or a 12x multiplier and then get dealt three of a kind and then fill in some of the quads. It's great and exciting, and it's worth the rush.
But these recreational players must be getting really beaten up on Ultimate X if they're just flying by the seat of their pants. And do you think they're going to eventually burn out on the game if they're losing too much money on it?
You know, I don't, I have no way of quantifying whether they're getting beaten up. But I would say to you that the, based on that being the fastest growing game that we've ever had, and seeing some of the hold numbers from casinos,
it can't be faster than Triple Play.
We didn't collect data in 97 or 98, so that's quite likely true. But since 99, when we have collected data, nothing has grown as fast as Ultimate X. I've looked at some hold percentages and things for different casinos, and they're not that out of line. As I understand it, not being a mathematician,
In other words, don't ask him tough questions, Mike.
I'm patting myself. I don't mind the tough question. I'll tell you if I don't know the answer. My understanding is that the variations in strategy get harder the more hands that you're playing. I've heard 10x, playing 10 play is a little trickier than playing triple play. And maybe that's not the case.
I don't think so. When you're playing, for those of you not familiar with the game, it's a 10 coin per line game. And you get multipliers on each line based on what happened on that line on the last 10. Now, in games without wild cards, usually it's the full house that gives you the 12x multiplier. So if you were dealt a full house, you get 12x multipliers on all. So the sum of the multipliers on 10 play would be 120. If you totally blanked, then everything would be 1x, and so the sum of the multipliers would be 10. So between 10 and 120, there's 111 different sums of multipliers, and for most games, there are 40 or 50 different strategy variations. So when the multiplier sums up to 13, you're going to have different strategy than when the multiplier sum up to 17, or when the multipliers sum up to 22, or to 34, or 29. Now, when I played it, and I only learned the strategy for one game, I figured out a strategy for like 10 to 30 and used one strategy, and 31 to 59 and used a second strategy, and 60 to 120 and used a third strategy as a reasonable approximation. But most players don't appear to know that there is a difference in strategy.
I would argue that most players probably couldn't figure it out. There are a handful of people.
I cannot figure it out.
Well, then how could anybody?
I had to pay a smart programmer $500 to work out the strategy. And and that was for one pay schedule on 10 play, and that strategy doesn't work on 5 play or triple play.
So I'll share with you two analogies that work for me in this situation. I prefer to play at bars where I can see the TV, I can get quicker service, I can get dinner and take it home, or I can eat while I'm watching the game and playing a little bit. Mm-hmm. I should know better. I mean, I do this for a living. I know the pay schedules.
7-5 double-double bonus.
They're painful, even with that $10,000 on gambler's bonus. But it really, if you think about it, it's really a price that I'm willing to pay. I only have to walk 20 yards to my car. I get free food. I get quicker service. And because I live here in Vegas, the idea of staying in a comped hotel room doesn't appeal to me that much. You know, I play stations mostly when I play locals. But at the end of the day, in my mind, it's a pricing a premium that I'm willing to pay because it's more convenient to my likes and my lifestyle. another analogy that may not be quite along the gambling line. When we were young and dating, we probably put up with a little more grief from a prettier girl than we did a not-so-pretty girl. And I would say that's a premium price that you pay, as we're going to be watching Michael do at the Shuffle Master booth next week.
Knowing Shirley and Lisa, we still do.
Fair statement.
All right. So,
but you know what? I, in closing, I don't want people to be scared of Ultimate X. It is a really fun ride.
It is.
So play it in low denomination. Maybe only play three or five hands at a time, but enjoy it. It's really fun.
All-Star Poker, Superstar Poker. They're similar and they're different. So tell us about those.
Well, All-Star Poker was the first greatest hits game that we did several years ago, you know, with our manufacturer distributing partner, IGT. We wanted to try and increase the bang per machine for both the operators and the players. One of the interesting challenges, because operators don't want an unlimited number of games they pay a daily fee for, you sometimes, in high volume times, can run into a situation where you want to go in and play a Super Times Pay machine and it's not available. So one of the things that we did is created All-Star Poker, where we essentially put in triple play, five play, 10 play, spin poker, Super Times Pay poker, so that the casino operator with one box could satisfy and appeal to lots more customers than they could with a lone triple play box. It was also strategically useful for IGT to help sell boxes. At the end of the day, we do take into account in our game development, how do we help our partner make their numbers as well? And having worked for IGT for a long time, I still sort of think that way. So All-Star Poker was, I also thought it was would be an excellent game for High Limit, which it has turned out to be. Because High Limit, you have a limited number of machines, and instead of dedicating one to only one theme, you can now put in an All-Star in that has All-Star, I think has something over 600 different games.
Well, this would be pay schedules on, including different pay schedules.
And then you've got pay schedules by games, triple play, five play, 10 play within all of the different actual themes that you have. So there's roughly a dozen themes in that thing with triple, five, and 10 in each or most of those themes. And then, of course, as we talked off air, the denominations and things all offer different entertainment.
And it also offers a chance for some of your obscure games, like trade-up poker, for mm-hmm. whom there is a real small market for.
Right.
But if it's one of many on there, then players can find it.
You get experimentation. Absolutely. That's a very good point. Superstar was a much more strategic idea that my good friend and partner in crime over at IGT, John Daly, came up with. One of the problem we were trying to solve was that we wanted to get more multi-hand games at bars. We know people like to play at the taverns or at the bars in the casinos, same way that I like to play in a bar or a tavern. But they want to play spin poker. They want to play 50-cent spin poker. They want to play, you know, higher denomination multi-hand games. Because of the typical earnings in a tavern, a 15-machine tavern, mm-hmm. the idea of paying a specific rate every day was problematic for a lot of the taverns. Now, the other side of the problem was that if you had two or three good players who wanted to play dollar five play, but you only had one machine, you know, they ran into a problem of access. What we've tried to do with Superstar is, or what we did do with Superstar is we introduced a completely different pricing model, lowering the daily rate for specific use at bars, so that when you walk into a tavern, it might have three or four superstars, which would include triple play, five play, 10 play, spin poker, super times pay. So that if all three of us are going out and we all want to play super times pay, which is a fantastic game, we don't have to toss a coin as to see which one of the three of us is the one who gets to play it. We could actually all sit down at three superstars and all play it.
If this group went out to play, it would not be at a bar or with a super time, say, pay schedules you find at a bar.
You're such a snob, Bob.
I'm such a cheapskate that I'm not going to play a game where the house has a 4% edge. Just not going to happen. Now, but basically from the player's point of view, are All-Star Poker and Superstar Poker identical?
Yeah, they are identical in terms of the games. Generally, yes. On each of those game themes, you have multiple games or themes that the casino or the tavern operator can turn on. We have no control, and to some extent, IGT doesn't really have a lot of control. When I sell Michael for Shackelford's Tavern a game, he makes the decision as to what games he turns on, triple play, five play, doesn't like 10 play for the exposure, puts on Super Times Pay, but only up to 50 cents because he doesn't want the exposure. And then he picks his own pay tables. So it's basically a big menu of stuff they can pick, and then it's up to them what they pick. One of the challenges we've run into with Superstar more than All-Star is that people are looking for that Game King glass when they go in the bar, and they're looking for their favorite machine, their lucky machine.
So Game King would be a single-line IGT game.
That's correct. Game King is a multi-game box that has all the traditional things we know, like Deuces Wild Bonus, Double Bonus, Double Bonus, Bonus Poker Deluxe. And then All-Star on the casino floor or Superstar in a bar would have Triple Play, Five Play, Spin Poker, and within those themes would have the actual game families that we all know and love, like Deuces Wild Bonus, Double Bonus, Double Double Bonus.
But Superstar also includes the Game King, so you do get single-line games. Or at least that's an option that the bar owner can turn on should he want to.
Absolutely right. The whole initiative with Superstar was to maximize the players' entertainment options and hopefully therefore increase the earnings power for our tavern and bar top customers.
Okay, speaking of finding obscure games, if a game hasn't made it onto the All-Star or Superstar yet, for example, Wheel Poker with Quick Cods, is there any source of information that the player can go to find out where he can find this game?
You picked a tricky game. The answer is yes. We work closely with IGT, and once a month we get a list of every game of ours that is in every casino in North America. That list is typically 30 days old because that's part of the way the billing cycle operates. And if you go to videopoker.com and go to find a game, you have a couple of different ways you can get to it. You can go to Nevada, you can go to Henderson, and under Henderson, then you can look at the casinos. It'll come up and show you a casino. Then you can look at all the games that are there. Or you can go and look for Super Times Pay in Nevada, and it'll show you all the places that that game is resident. The game you picked is classified as a mega jackpot game, and typically we have not put those on the website, although that's something that we're looking at doing. It comes from a different division within IGT, and it's a different report, and it's just something we have to solve. But we want people to be when someone's going to Biloxi for a business trip, and they love Ultimate X, you know, we want them to know that if they stay at Bellagio, Beau Rivage, it's on that floor.
But it doesn't tell them whether they can find it for nickels or dollars, and it doesn't
That's
tell
correct.
Them if the Jacks or Better pay schedule is 9-6 or 6-5.
That's true. I think there's another website that has more dedication to that. Isn't that VP Free?
VP Free 2 with it, yeah. With the digit 2.com. List the games over 99% in basically every casino in the country. Now, Ultimate X games, the vast majority of them are not over 99%. And so they may not be on that list. Or if a particular pay schedule is over 99%, which happens, for example, South Point has some Ultimate X over 99%, then the monitor who goes through and scouts machines has to recognize that it's over 99%, and a lot of them don't. I mean, they know the pay schedules for Deuces Wild that are over 99%, but they may not know the pay schedules for some of the other games.
It's a savant-like skill to be able to know what you guys know about pay tables and recognize that stuff instantly, the way some people do cars.
By the way, about VP Free 2, I think that there's a lot of casinos that have zero games over 99%, in which case they endeavor to just list the best ones.
Yeah, but sometimes if the best one is 9-6 double-double, which is a tick under 99%, mm-hmm. they'll list it, and often they'll just say nothing playable.
I think it's a great website and a great tool, and when I worked for IGT and still to this day still do recommend that operators look at sites like VP Free 2 because I think it's important that people that are selling the gambling entertainment option are aware of what players where they're studying, what they're learning, what matters to them, and what they're saying.
Yeah, I use that site all the time.
Even on Wednesdays?
Especially Wednesday.
All right. Now, gold members on videopoker.com get to play games with the red light, green light feature. How does this work?
The stoplight feature, there's sort of, in our mind, there's kind of two extremes in terms of training tools. There's what you do, which is absolutely brilliant, and I would argue is the Nordstrom's or the Neiman Marcus. It's the absolute best for the people who want the absolute best. A stoplight is sort of at the risk of calling it the Walmart option. It's just a simpler option that's not as accurate, not within the thousandth or hundredths places that I know that you guys like to live. But what it does is it allows you to make your hold, and when you hit deal, if you don't have the optimum hold, a yellow light will come up as a warning, which gives you an option to recognize that that wasn't the optimal hold on that hand and gives you a chance to change it. And it also tracks how many hands you've played, how many hands you've got correct, what your percentage of correct holds are. It's just a very, very simple rudimentary training tool. We kind of liken it to water wings. Before you jump in the pool and learn how to do the Australian crawl, you put the water wings in, you learn how to float and paddle around a little bit. And if you want to go further, we've got Video Poker for Winners and other excellent tools out there to take people through those classes.
Well, and I think it's more accurate than you indicate. I've, like on Quick Quads, on the double-double bonus version, I have entered the hands, some of the obscure hands, that like 5-5, 4-2, 10, and the correct play is either 5-5, 4 or 5-5, 2, and it comes up right, or there's one full house with 3 threes that you hold all 5 cards, and all the others you hold 3 cards or sometimes 4. It gets that one right. So I'm guessing that it's getting, if you get a green light, it means it's within a thousandth of a percent.
Close.
It's real close.
I love the tool. I mean, it's I use it infrequently, but I love it as it's just a simple reminder. We'll soon have it out on apps, which will be a nice handy tool to carry around in your pocket. And we'll have more information about that down the track if you want to talk about that.
Good. Now, what does it take to become a gold member? And what is there anything else you get for gold membership other than stoplight?
Sure. I appreciate your asking, actually. So the site is really run as a marketing expense, and we spend roughly $1 million a year on the site. We can fund it in really one of two ways, generally. One is advertising supported, which are roll-ups before games start, ads that you see to the side of the gameplay. If you go gold, it's $8 a month, and you get no ads. And you get a collection of extra features. Probably, in my mind, the most important feature you get is the stoplight feature. But you also get chat, you get personal challenges. It enables you to be much more interactive with the community of 275,000 people that we have on videopoker.com. So your entry for free, you can play everything for free, but you got to look at ads, and a lot of people don't like that. We've kept the price, we believe, very low. $8 a month is, is pennies a day. It's like less than buying a soda a day. But what it enables us to do is defray those costs, so we don't have to rely solely on advertising and roll-up ads. And we still have a benevolent interest in trying to help people enjoy the games and play them better, which is why we do things like the videopoker.com. I'm sure you're going to ask me about our meet and greet Monday, but why we try and bring our people together, why we do contests and give away prizes and merchandise, trying to build that sense of community and help people enjoy the games more.
Now, when a brand new game comes out, do the gold members get a chance to play it first?
Yeah, we give the gold members a peek first. Again, we're trying to figure out, how do we make that $8 as valuable as possible? And I appreciate you asking that. We coordinate with our partners, IGT. Typically, a game will get approved in Nevada first, and so we'll start with Nevada because the largest proportion of our members from any one state are Nevada. So we'll drop it on to videopoker.com, say, a month before it hits the casinos. Now, there's a selfish interest in there. We want people to try it and like it, and we want them to go to their local casinos and actually ask for the game. That helps us in some way, we hope, we believe, in terms of creating some demand for the games. Typically, 2 months later, we typically have a 60-day lag time, and then we make it available to the entire population of the community. But it's one more benefit. If you want to see the newest games and get a chance to have a run at them before you actually have to put money in the casino, it's a great way to do it.
I agree.
So we are going to ask you about the meet and greet next Monday, but we're going to ask you later. We have a longer than average commercial segments. And so when we know how much time we have left, we'll say you have a minute and 45 seconds to tell us or something like that.
Okay.
In the meantime, thank you very much. This is very informative and enjoyable. So Shaq, what did we learn tonight?
What did we learn tonight? We learned about that you can go to videopoker.com and find where they have their various games. I didn't know that, so... And we also learned about something about the process of marketing a new video poker game.
And we learned that if you're inventing a game, it's tough. But maybe we already knew that.
I definitely already knew that.
All right. So is there anything happening on the various Wizard websites?
Yeah, thanks for asking.
You're welcome.
On the Wizard of Odds, just today, I put up a Baccarat calculator where you can put in any deck composition in Baccarat, and it will tell you the odds of not just each player, banker, and tie winning, but broken down by the exact score of the player and banker, which could be useful if you're trying to come up with a Baccarat side bet, or maybe you're playing at a live dealer casino on the internet, and you can punch in the cards and know exactly what the best bet is. I also put up a page about a game at the Pala Casino called
Pala Casinos in San Diego County.
Yep, that's right. They have a game there called Raise It Up, which is kind of like a cross between Let It Ride and Ultimate Texas Hold'em. It's like Let It Ride and that you're paid based on only your own cards. The dealer doesn't get any. And it's like Ultimate Texas Hold'em in that you're given one chance to raise, and the earlier you do it, the more you can do it for. So that game has a 3.5% house advantage, 1.06% element of risk. And I also finally mentioned on the Wizard of Odds that my video poker wizard is out on the iPhone. It's been through three rounds of bug fixes, so we feel that it's as good as it's going to get. So please support the site and buy a copy.
Good. All right. So I think on one of these days, you talked about a 1.06 element of risk.
Yes.
So I don't think we have time tonight, but I think that's, so I don't know what that is, and I'm interested in knowing what that is. So maybe next week you can prepare a 2 or 3 minute explanation of what it is.
I would be happy to, and this is a statistic that I would like to be in the vernacular of everyone in the gaming business and intelligent players.
So both.
Yes.
All right. So I hope I'm in both categories. Okay. The South Point has more than 10,000 video poker games, returning more than 99%. That's more than anybody else. A few months ago, they had a virtual horse racing promotion a few times on the slot club readouts. Now, they're running a similar promotion in October, only this time it's NASCAR related. Today was the first day, kind of a test. And other than today, it will run every Monday through Thursday in October. There'll be four race times a day, 3:30, 4:30, 7:30, 8:30. To qualify, you must earn $50 points for $50 coin in within the previous hour. You then have a 1 in 8 chance of winning. You pick a race car driver. It could be Jeff Gordon, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and six other. That I don't remember. I'm not a NASCAR fan. Those I recognize. The other ones. So I went there today at 3:30 and 4:30 to check it out. So I knew what I was talking about. 3:30, they had a lousy winner, which that means that I didn't pick it. And it was $142 per person of the people who did. At 4:30, I started playing better. I picked the winner and got $71. Now, my
No, I had a 1 in 8 chance of getting that. So that made it worth like $9. Now, my suspicion is that the evening play times will have more people in them than the afternoon play times. And so it might end up being $5 or $6 EV per time that you enter. Now, this is definitely a low roller promotion. But if you're going to be at the South Point anyway to pick up free play or to eat or blah, 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 it makes sense to arrange your schedule so that you can take advantage of the promotion. Halloween, there are going to be 2x points on video poker. This coming Tuesday at noon, I'll be teaching a free class in Quick Quads. Now, while normally I have a beginners and intermediate class in the same day, this will be one extended intermediate level class only because the game's a little bit complicated. It's going to last about 2.5 hours. Quick Quads is the game I play most there. So of my coin in at the South Point, probably 90% of it is on Quick Quads. Now, everybody has their own reason for playing a particular game. And there are some people who argue, well, if the game is good enough for Bob Dancer, it's probably good enough for them too. So if that's the way you feel about which game to play, I'll see you on Tuesday. At the Palms, this Friday and Saturday night will be the last of their throw the football through the 16-inch hole drawing. So far, almost everybody who's tried to throw the football accurately has failed, except one. Ann Fried-Lefton, who was a guest on this show a few months ago talking about taxes for gamblers, has been the only successful quarterback so far. Way to go, Annie. Two more folks get to try this weekend. After the drawing Saturday night, you can begin to earn entries into next week's drawing, which will be for the month-long $100,000 Monster Cash. There will be drawings every Friday and Saturday night. They will be cash prizes and entries into the final drawing. The final drawing on Saturday, October 27th, one player will walk away with $50,000 cash. We haven't seen the rules yet, but presumably you can win once per night max. So if you play a lot and get called Friday, Saturday of all 4 weeks, you can have 8 tickets into that $50,000 drawing out of however many there are. The PEW, play, earn, and win. Ending tomorrow is for sports stuff. The PEW starting Monday and going through the 15th has a Think Pink theme, honoring breast cancer awareness. It looks like the top prize will be a $100 Macy's gift card, probably requiring 40,000 video poker points to earn. You keep your points. So if you consider that $100 gift card to be worth $100, this is equivalent to double points. The free monthly contest at videopoker.com ends this coming Sunday, and it features Triple Play Dream Card. Dream Card is a 10-coin per line game where periodically the machine deals you 4 cards and gives you the best possible card for the 5th card, and its size, Dream Card. The only game to play for the contest is Triple Double Bonus. It's a 9-6 pay schedule here in this contest, which is too tight for players who wish to play with an edge in the casino. But for this contest, it is by far your best play. At least one player has been dealt aces with a kicker twice in 100 hands, which gives him 24,000 points. And so he ended up with 25,000 and something. The others in the top 10 are all over 20,000. So, just being dealt a royal or dealt aces with a kicker will give you 12,000. So that's nice, but you got a long way to go. The prizes are modest. A $500 Visa cards for first place, but the cost is zero. And it also allows you to experience the game in a fairly realistic way to see if it's something that you would like to invest in a real casino. Our guest next week will be Brian McAllister. Brian is a gambler who lives back east now, but grew up playing video poker the same video poker promotions I did in the 90s. So when he read my $1 million video poker book, he goes, yeah, I did that too. So we're going to hear a lot of his stories about the good old days next week. But for all of us, when we tell the stories of the good old days, there's some hints in there that are still applicable today. So video poker players will learn something next week that they can apply. Now, a couple nights ago, Shirley and I attended Wicked,
which is a Broadway musical that is currently running in Las Vegas for another month or so. This show is a musical built around the Wizard of Oz theme, and there are Munchkins in it. Now, on this show here, I work with the Wizard of Oz, and Richard Munchkin's a regular guest, so I felt quite at home with the show. So both Shirley and I recommend that show, and so if you have a chance, the tickets aren't cheap, but it's a good show. Now, Shaq, you got some culture yourself this weekend in a show at New York, New York.
Yes, I saw an ad for what I thought was an ABBA tribute band at the New York, New York, and I'm a big ABBA fan, and I saw Mamma Mia three times. So I paid, you know, the full price for this show, and boy, was I disappointed. It wasn't an ABBA tribute band at all. It was just playing ABBA music. The musicians only sang, and it was basically just a dancing show, which I really don't care for at all. And the music was all very fast and syncopated, and it sounded like they had pillows over the speakers. So I did not care for the sound quality. This style of dancing does nothing for me. So I really just had a miserable time, and I'm sorry. I thought the show was just awful.
So much for culture. Culture does that to some people.
So I should have seen Wicked instead.
Or Absinthe.
Absinthe, yeah. I already mentioned that I love that show.
It's the best show on the strip.
Yeah, absolutely. Great show.
All right, Mike Fields, back to you. This coming Monday is a meet and compete at the Mirage, sponsored by VideoPoker.com. There's a video poker tournament and an after party where players get to meet you and me, among others. Now, what other reasons should players skip Monday Night Football for and come by?
Well, you know, I suspect a lot of your listeners enjoy free stuff, so that's clearly a good reason. You know, that this is our third one we've done. There is a great sense of community amongst a hardcore group of our friends and fans on VideoPoker.com. And this meet and compete gives them a chance to come and play in a tournament. I think it's a $50 buy-in, and it's 100% payout. I think more importantly than the tournament itself, it gives a lot of people that talk to each other on chat, that recognize each other. You talk about your guy on Dream Card who's got aces with a kicker twice. Someone wants to know who, if his name is, you know, Mr. Jordan XX, somebody would really like to know who that Mr. Jordan XX is and put a face with the name. So we give out hats and T-shirts and things so that people can recognize each other when they're just generally playing in the Mirage. The Mirage has given away, I believe, some free credit to play, and I think they've done a promotional rate for everybody. So it really is just a great chance for people who probably have talked to each other or are aware of each other on the video poker community to get together, have a little bit of fun, meet each other, and, of course, playing in a tournament, chance to make some money, enjoying some free food and free drink. Doesn't get a lot better than that.
Now, if they did not enter the tournament, so they didn't pay their $50, and they're, say, a local video poker player, are they still allowed to come to the after party, or is there an admission charge, or how does that work?
You know, you'll have to forgive me, and I hope your readers will too. I don't know that there is a methodology for that, but if anybody is in that situation, have them send me an email at mike.fields@actiongaming.com. or comments at videopoker.com, and I'll respond to you tomorrow and confirm that or deny that.
All right. Now, I'm personally expecting to get in for free, and even though I won't be in the tournament, so I will be greatly disappointed if I can't get
in. Five drink minimum, as always.
Five drink minimum, as always. Good. All right. So how much are you and Ernie playing video poker, and does that help you? We only got about 20 seconds to answer that question.
Ernie, probably not much. He's been traveling a great deal. He's got a new granddaughter, and he's a really proud grandpa. I've been playing a bit and having fun.
5 seconds. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good night.
Good night. Good night.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford. Archived versions of past shows may be found on bobdancer.com and wizardofodds.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Michael Shackelford are both on Facebook and welcome your input or questions. Our sponsors are the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa, the Palms Casino Resort, the website videopoker.com, and the website wizardofodds.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.